its current state on 90.5 WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. Thank you for joining us. 3 weeks ago, officials gathered at the site of a retired landfill in East Lansing to announce a makeover. The Bertram Park Landfill, near Bertram Drive and Park Lake Road, soon will become home to 1,000 solar panels. For $400, Lansing Board of Water and Light customers who want access to solar-generated electricity can lease a panel for 25 years. A site in South Lansing will be home to a similar setup. According to some sources, these kinds of projects are becoming more common in Michigan and across the country. Our next two guests have been involved locally in alternative energy for years. John Kinch is the Executive Director of Michigan Energy Options with offices here in East Lansing and in Marquette. Welcome, John.
Thank you.
And John Sarver is an East Lansing resident. He's the Executive Director of the Great Lakes Renewable Energy Association. John, good to see you.
Yeah, thanks.
Community solar has become almost a phrase in and of itself. What does it mean exactly, John Kinch?
Yeah, I define it as allowing participants, residents, and businesses alike to enjoy the benefits of solar power without having to locate the installations on their own property.
So that does not include rooftop solar people, John Sarver?
Typically not, because with community solar, you typically have a larger installation, and so a lot of the community solar projects are ground mount in fields. But I mean, you could have one on a roof, but typically you have constraints. So typically you have a ground mount installation for community solar.
So in East Lansing, you have a local utility, you have the Lansing Board of Water and Light, joining with the municipality, the city of East Lansing, to offer solar electricity to residents. Do I have that? That's basically how it works.
Right, except it's available to all Board of Water and Light electric customers, mm-hmm. whether they live in East Lansing or they live in Lansing or Holt or Delta Township. So it's broader than just the East Lansing residents and businesses that qualify for this project.
Tell us more about how it'll work, John.
Well, there's a sponsor in this case, the Lansing Board of Water and Light, who's working with John and Patriot Solar, who are actually going to be the developers. And then they basically provide shares. So an individual homeowner or businesses too or institutions can buy shares. And then they get some financial benefit. In this case, it'll be a bill credit over the life of the lease, 25 years, I believe.
But LBWL customers in Lansing can also end up getting electricity from the East Lansing solar array?
Yeah, absolutely. What we're trying to do with our program is have folks lease a panel or panels. They're welcome to lease more than one that fits their budget. And the idea is that we want to kind of fill up the one project in East Lansing first and then move on to the Lansing project second. But in truth, it's kind of a virtual solar production for folks. In other words, they're going to be getting a credit on their bill, but it isn't like they're going to own a panel in one particular park at all, nothing like that. They're merely going to be leasing the rights to the power. And so we're hoping people come early and lease a number of panels, but we think between the two projects with 2,000 panels total available that we ought to be able to have enough supply for the demand out there.
And when we talk about a community solar project like these, an established utility is always involved?
Well, not always, but typically, because there's a lot of advantages having a utility sponsor. There are six utilities in Michigan now doing community solar projects, and they all provide a utility bill credit. There's a third party doing a project over near Holland, so it's possible to have a project without utility involvement, but utility involvement, for a whole bunch of reasons, is key. And because we're talking about community solar, a number of the utilities are municipal utilities doing this around the state, because it's important that people identify with the project. People like to go out and actually see the project that they're buying a share in.
And these community level projects are taking off in Michigan? Have we seen a dramatic increase in these, or what?
We are seeing an increase. I'm not sure I'd characterize it as dramatic, but I think across the nation we're seeing a lot of folks getting interested in community solar. I read a study recently that said that in 2015 the number of projects are increasing fivefold, and that between 2015 and 2020 we can expect going from 66 megawatts in 2015 to something like 500 megawatts in 2020.
John Kinch is the executive director of Michigan Energy Options with offices in East Lansing and Marquette. John Sarver is executive director of the Great Lakes Renewable Energy Association. We're talking about community solar power projects and other related alternative energy issues here. John Sarver, the East Lansing project took off after a community survey showed support for just such an idea. Does it typically require a significant level of support from residents for something like this to take off?
Yeah, and we have seen all over the state where utilities are developing projects, there's significant community interest. More than the utilities even expect. But it's not just residents, too, because for this project, the city of East Lansing has committed to 10 shares. So it can be businesses and institutions in addition to homeowners who kind of make get a share of the project.
1,000 panels in East Lansing, 1,000 panels in Lansing? Do I have those numbers
That's
right?
That's what we're gunning for, yes, sir.
Andy Blaskovitz, who used to report for the Lansing City Pulse, he's now with the Midwest Energy News, wrote last week that recently the increase in community-based solar systems might be considered the end of solar's growing pains. John Kinch, are you inclined to agree with that?
Well, again, I think John and I were just talking about this. We're really kind of all of the above in terms of the solar industry. In other words, we want to see community solar projects, rooftop solar projects, utility scale projects, something called wholesale distributed generation. So I think the idea that the industry is maturing is correct. And I think that community solar just captures the attention and imagination of people, I think, in ways that ideally allows us to have conversations and educate folks about the benefits of solar on the roof as a utility and in a community solar park.
How willing are utilities to get involved in solar initiatives, John Sarver?
Well, they're getting much more interested because during the past 5 years, costs for solar have gone down by 50%. And so it wasn't that long ago where you'd have very long paybacks. And now the economics are getting very favorable, both for homeowners who have a good site and certainly for utilities. One of the advantages for utilities is that it produces power during the summer at peak times when air conditioning loads are high. And that's when, of course, solar electric systems produce their most power at the same time that air conditioning loads are high. So utilities, because costs are going down for the equipment, kind of see the real advantage with getting involved in a significant way with their own installations and helping their customers also.
And both of you get energy from rooftop systems. Do I have that right?
Absolutely. So that's part of it. You know, we in Michigan Energy Options, or Urban Options, as we used to be known for years, was the only place in town where you could go take a look at solar power. We have 3 kilowatts of solar power at our office. We're very proud of that. This is going to be 100 times that with our community solar project in East Lansing, 300 kilowatts. And we're happy to be usurped and have something bigger and more interesting to going on than our own solar panels at our office.
What is the connection between an individual homeowner installing his or her own rooftop system and the utility? Can you help me understand that? I mean, do utilities need to be involved in every individual rooftop project?
Well, unless you really cut the wires to the utility, you're involved even if you own your own system. Typically, a homeowner, let's assume they have a good site. And one reason we're looking at community solar as a good option is only about 25% of the actual homes have good sites, a southern orientation, no shading.
That's fewer than people would probably assume. I was surprised that the number of sites were not appropriate. That's 75 to 80% or so
of homes,
not, you know, are not appropriate.
There's more commercial sites have a higher percentage of suitable sites, 65%. But homeowners, it's kind of surprising. But again, you need a, like my house has a small 1.3 kilowatt system. My front of my house is facing south. I have minimal shading on the south of my roof. So I have like an ideal location. But there's a lot of homes that don't have that sort of situation.
John Sarver, solar installation businesses are among your association's members. Tell us about these businesses. How many people right now are making a living, say, installing solar panels in Michigan?
Yeah, there's That's a good question. You know, it's really growing quickly. There's about 120 companies in Michigan that are involved in the solar industry in one way or the other. The latest numbers I've seen indicate that we have about 2,100 actual people working in the solar industry, and probably about a third of them are installers. So we're talking probably about 700 installers. And we have a significant number of manufacturers in Michigan, a couple panel manufacturers and five manufacturers that do the racking to put the panels on.
Can I chime in here? That
please.
Our project has, as our solar developer and installer, Patriot Solar, based out of Albion, Michigan. And at this point, we're also sourcing, ideally, we're going to be able to source the panels to be a Michigan product as well. And then the other partners in this project include Rich Vanderveen, which folks might recognize Rich Vanderveen's name. He did the Gratiot Wind Farm on 127 north of Lansing.
Can't miss it, going up north.
As well as he's done other solar projects such as in Eaton Rapids. And then we have David Gard as well. And so this is a real serious Michigan effort to make this project happen.
Do oil and natural gas companies actively resist alternative energy initiatives?
Well, that's a good question. I wouldn't paint a broad brush against the whole industry, but it's true that, you know, when you have these established industries, utility, fossil fuel industries, you know, they have a vested interest in maintaining their share of the market.
Michigan is approaching our energy policy right now pretty comprehensively. Energy choice, deregulation is at the heart of the discussion. Any thoughts on that, John Kinch?
Well, I think we're all kind of waiting to see what happens next. I can say from the standpoint that our nonprofit has worked with utilities across the state, including the Lansing Board of Water and Light, on the energy optimization or energy efficiency side of that. And you know, these utilities have made amazing sort of energy savings through that statute. So let's see what happens next.
We have to leave it there. We want to thank both of our guests, John Kinch, Executive Director of Michigan Energy Options with offices in East Lansing and Marquette. John Sarver is Executive Director of the Great Lakes Renewable Energy Association. Stay in touch. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Mark.